Kezia Purick, Speaker of the House, is in a bit of trouble. Now, I'm not overly across a lot of political things here in the Northern Territory. It's not really my bag. So when I need expert advice, I go to our Minister for Everything, Daryl Manzi. Good morning.
Good morning, Mel. How are you going?
I'm well. Now, Daryl, for our listeners who aren't familiar with you, they must have been living under a rock, but let's go back through a little bit of your political history so that we can really ground the fact that you do know what you're talking about. Can you tell me when you first entered NT politics?
I got involved with the politics, but I was elected to the parliament in 1983. And I stayed, I think I went through six elections, and I retired in 2001 on my own volition. I thought it was time for a change for me and for the
for the
parliament.
For the constituents?
Yeah, but I was a minister for the entire time, so I never sat on the back bench, and I was Attorney General, I think, for about 10 years, and just about every portfolio except Treasury. They'd never give me the chequebook, would they? And tourism. I never did any tourism stuff. But
so I think we're safe in saying that you have a very good understanding on the way that politics works here in the Northern Territory.
Well, I understand how the process works, and I understand reading legislation and how that works. And I have some concerns about a few things here, and it really concerns me about the role of the ICAC commissioner. The ICAC has to be not only independent, he has to be seen as totally independent of government, of anything to do with the political process. Now, we had an instance last year where the ICAC commissioner stood down because there was a perception in the community that he had a bias in regards to a matter. And I think really that's, I think he should have actually stood down completely
back
and
then
moved on, because once you've lost the confidence of a community and they see you as an arm of government, it's very difficult to maintain an independent approach that's seen by people to be independent and believed to be independent. That bias, that perception of a bias, is really so important for the integrity of an ICAC commissioner. So saying that,
so, Daryl, if we can recap, though, what we are looking at today.
Right.
So, Michael Gunner addressed members of the media yesterday to talk about a report, is that right, from the ICAC?
Yeah, well, the ICAC commissioner carried out an investigation into a complaint by Terry Mills, the member for Blaine, and it related to the speaker, pardon me, allegedly making contact with a person who had registered the name of the North Australia Party, and there was a move by Mr. Mills to make the same claim. And so she and her staff went off and had some inquiries to sort of establish that there wasn't North Australian Party registered. Now, be that as it may, it's probably not a really proper role for the Speaker, although it probably doesn't hurt to be able to advise people, hey, look, that's not a good name to use, it's already registered, you'll cause yourself all sorts of problems if you don't sort of fix that up. But then when this is, and this is where the ICAC Commissioner's investigation came to the conclusion, was that she misled the Parliament and the community in regards to, she allegedly said that she hadn't been in touch and she hadn't made these contacts.
Has been proven to be a lie?
Well, not proven, but the ICAC commissioner said there was evidence to support that it was a lie.
Right.
And that's, so you've got to make sure you sort of differentiate a bit about proven and allegations.
That's why I've got you here.
Okay, but then the other thing was that she apparently also allegedly lied to the Parliament when that question was put to her during a debate, along the lines of, you shouldn't be talking about this, aren't you under investigation? And she said, no, I'm not. But whether she'd been informed that she was under investigation, I don't know.
Right.
But if she had been informed, telling a lie in the Parliament is a no-no. And there's provisions in the standing orders and the processes to deal with people that tell lies in the Parliament. And it's It's not a criminal offence, but it's a pretty serious matter for misleading the parliament, and you get censored and all that sort of thing. So those two issues are what the ICAC commissioner has focused on. He made a sort of reference to corruption. He said, look, all these things added together is a corrupt practice. Now, really, it's a difficult thing to look at because most of us have this idea in our head that corruption's when you receive a benefit or a favour in return, or you give a benefit or a favour in return for something, and that certainly hasn't seemed to appear here. But however, if you want to be really just stick to the words and cross the I and T, there could be seen to be a sort of a corrupt approach, I guess, to being fair and reasonable. But that's what's laid out in the report. Now, what concerns me, and I'll get back to the first point, which was this perception of bias. The first I knew about it, and everyone knew about it, was when the Chief Minister appeared on a platform and gave a few words and didn't present the report, presented extracts out of it. The claims were made public, and of course the media made the headlines in regards to the claims, as they would. pardon me, at this stage, the Parliament hadn't heard about it. And that's a bit strange because the ICAC is not supposed to be working for the government or seen to be working with the government or seen to have a connection. It's the Parliament that has employed him and the Parliament he's supposed to report to. Now, Gerry Wood yesterday was quite concerned about this, and he sort of said, look, I haven't seen this, and I'm a Member of Parliament, and we're supposed to be debating this.
Mm.
And Section 50 of the Act says that a report, an investigative report under the ICAC should be, a report should be made to the Speaker or the Deputy Speaker, which in this case it would have been the Deputy Speaker, and they must table a copy of the report in the Legislative Assembly on the next sitting day after the Speaker or the Deputy Speaker receives the report. Now, we've got the Chief Minister saying, look, we're going to be putting the position of Speaker to the vote. And as Gerry said, well, as a Member of Parliament, I don't know what this is about. I need to be able to study it. I need to be able to make inquiries. I don't know whether Kezia knows what it is or whether she's personally received a copy or whether she's been asked to comment on it. Now, they're all questions which wouldn't have arisen if the ICAC Commissioner had presented it to the Speaker or the Deputy, not to the Speaker, but to the Deputy Speaker to table with a small statement. And that's how it's supposed to be dealt with, because that way then there's no perception that the ICAC Commissioner is working for the Chief Minister or for the government of the day.
So we were talking about Gerry Wood and his comments in relation to this.
Well, Gerry's been very clear. He's saying, look, is this process correct? So where does it say in the legislation that the Chief Minister can accept the report? Where does it say the report can be handed out before it's presented to the Legislative Assembly? He's written to Mr Fleming, the ICAC Commissioner, for an explanation on how the process fits with the Act. Gerry said he wants to, and I'll quote from his press release, he wants to read the whole report instead of only seeing titbits provided by the media. He says this is not good enough, especially if there's going to be a vote tomorrow, which is today.
Mm.
This is a very serious issue. And Gerry goes on to say, look, IPAC is independent, but on serious matters like this, due process is required, regardless of the findings of the inquiry. Otherwise, it looks like the Chief Minister wanted to give the media a special look-in before the Assembly was given the report, and that's not a good look. And I think Gerry, we all know, Gerry is a very straight up and down man. And he's a very experienced politician. He's been active in the Parliament for many years now. And he certainly is right across all the legislation and processes and standing orders in running the Assembly. So this has been a very messy a very messy process, and the ICAC commissioner hasn't done himself any favours by giving this to the Chief Minister, or the Chief Minister receiving it somehow and releasing it publicly before it goes to the Parliament, who employs the office of the ICAC. I mean, it's an independent office, but it's the whole Parliament, not the government. Because the government can't be involved in directly employing an independent commissioner who's going to be looking at things independently. So I scratch my head. I hope that there's some senior legal people who can make some statements about this. This is a dangerous road we're travelling on. And to have people, I guess, accused, then hung, drawn and quartered before they get a chance to speak and answer the allegations made against them, that is not a good process. So we shouldn't be entertaining that.
And it does seem a little trial by media, a little bit like that, because...
Yeah, well, that's what happens, isn't it?
When look at the media's fault. No, but look at everything that's in the paper, just for example, today. Political career, in controversy and drama. Too little, too late. You know, all of these ICAC questions to Purick, speaker scandal, Purick engaged in corrupt conduct, Parliament warning. You know, like it's sensationalism, isn't it?
It is. And it really, it can be done in terms of reporting on debates in the Parliament, because all those things will be raised in the Parliament when they do the debate.
But shouldn't that have happened first?
Yes, I believe very much so. And the Act does say, as I said, Section 50, that it... investigative reports are supposed to go through the Speaker and the Deputy Speaker. Most people aren't interested in all these process things, but they're there for a reason, and it's for fair play. There's no doubt that Kezia will be held to account. And the biggest, she's going to actually put this out to her electorate. And
that's the thing too, the people of Goyder.
And they'll make the decision as to whether she stays in the Parliament or not, because that's their right to do so. And if there's no charges going to be laid, and it's very hard to see a criminal act except lying to, allegedly lying to the ICAC commissioner. That's one of the things that people have to be well aware of. You don't, it's a bit like the Parliament, but the Parliament has no actual penalties for it except censorship and making people sort of step down from office holding positions and, you know, stay on the backbench type of thing. So, yes, it's been very messily done, and the Chief Minister needs to have someone advise him about the protocols of dealing with legislative requirements and perception. He needs to understand what the perception of means in terms of how the public view things. And when you've got senior legal people creating perceptions which might indicate that there is a link between, in this case, the government and an independent ICAC, that's not good for all of us.
It's not good for any of us at any time, but it's certainly not good going into an August election that already is messy and murky with, you know, no real budget information and no real direction.
They're the things that we should be looking at. There's quite a few issues that have been occurring of late that are probably good subjects for the ICAC commissioner to look at. This is the first serious matter they've looked at since the office was formed 2018. The other item is one that happened last October in Ewan Damu, and the ICAC commissioner has already stepped down and said he'll exclude himself from it because of this perception of bias that was created. So, it is not a... Not a good scene at the moment, is it?
And from a human point of view, I hope that Kezia has got some good supportive people around her, because, you know, when things like this happen, it can cause a lot of angst and pain and stress. Yep. And, you know, we need to be aware that our politicians are people, that they're human and they have families and that type of stuff. So I hope that she has support around her.
But, you know, politicians also know when they move into this area that they are going to be subject to greater scrutiny than ordinary people. That's the that's what happens.
It? Yeah, yep. And, it is indeed.
You've just got to, anything you do or say, as Marshall Perrin used to say, if you don't want to read about it in the NT News, don't do it or do it properly.
Daryl, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Perhaps we can catch up as these things unfold.
We'll see what happens, Mel, won't we?